welcome back. Thank you very much for tuning in. You are listening to the Dom and Colin podcast. My name is Colin, and I am here with Dom. Dom, how's it going?
It's going very well. How are you?
I am thrilled. We are back today at long last to talk about the finale of The Genius Season 4 and plenty more to talk about, not only the finale, but the season as a whole and The Genius as a series as a whole. And joining us for the occasion, our good Shinguya, Kos Kostrowski. Kos, how are you doing?
Chinguas! Hey, I'm doing great. It's really exciting to be back talking some genius with you guys, and what a season. It's incredible. I'm always excited when I'm talking about the genius, and especially after this season, it's 10 times better.
Sorry, someone just knocked on my door. One second. There's a tree outside in my parking lot, and they finally come to get rid of it, and there's a car parked in front of it from people that have not been here for 2 weeks.
All right, so let's start, as we always do, at the beginning, and I think... We'll get quickly into the finale, not spend too much time on that because there's a lot of general stuff that we want to get to, but I think it was a pretty good finale, and going into it, I was solidly expecting that Kyung-hoon was going to take it down, and so the final outcome came as a bit of a shock to me.
Yeah, I was totally on board with that. I was thinking, because we were hearing particularly so much about him talking about wanting to beat all of the kings and be the final boss here, and we were getting just such a tremendous redemption arc. I feel like if this were like Survivor, there's no way he would ever go on to lose.
Yeah, I wasn't quite as confident as you guys. It sounds like I was probably 60-40 Kyung-hoon. But I really thought, especially after the way the start of the episode went, that they were editing it to where Dongmin actually was going to be the winner with all the sad stuff about how he didn't have anything growing up. So I think it switched pretty quickly for me.
Okay, well, let's get into that. Let's talk about this opening kind of montage in the finale. Clearly, some similarities between this and the brilliant season 3 opening, I thought, which we haven't, of course, podcasted about yet. But I love that opening, the Dongmin and Hyunmin kind of retrospective in the season 3 opening. And at first, I was thinking, this season 4 one kind of fell flat compared to that. Yeah. But of course, they got us with the sentimentality down at the end.
Yeah, I thought, like... if you compare it directly to the season 3 one, I think you see, like, the one criticism that I would make of this season is a lot of the standard stuff, like the chatter before the opening title sequence. A lot of that felt kind of forced this season, and equally here, like, the season 3 opening was fantastic. This one was, it was fine, but it wasn't anything magical the way that that one was.
Leave it to Dom to complain about something from the Genius season 4, am I right?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that is valid. Like, if they are going to, I feel like it was, like, shot very deliberately in the same style as that one that, to this point, had been unique. It's not like we got that in season 1 and 2. So I do think the comparison is at least fair when that's immediately what it's going to spring to mind, is that what I think that Hyunmin and Dongmin thing was, like, one of the highlights of The Genius as a franchise.
Yeah, I think it's just an interesting contrast between season 3 and season 4. I'm not saying that the season 4 opening was the best one that they've ever done or that it was the most captivating thing ever, but I did like the comparison between you've got Kyung-hoon, who's this brilliant guy who's just been studying his entire life and his parents put him through the ringer as far as just getting a great education, and then you've got Dongmin, who didn't have Legos growing up and he's drawing pictures of polar bears and he can't read. I just thought it was a really interesting contrast, and again, I'm not saying it was the best it possibly could have been, but it entertained me for sure.
Yeah, and I think this is something we didn't really talk about. I think it maybe came up a couple of times as we were podcasting about season 4. I would say the one place that season 4 felt really lacking pretty consistently was the pre-theme song openings. It seems like none of them really had the same like pop that the first 3 seasons tended to have.
That's probably because Sangmin wasn't there.
That's probably a pretty fair point.
Yeah, and I think in terms of content, the one thing that really stood out to me, like, you have Kyung-hoon saying that he has led a pretty good life, but he's been studying hard, and then Dongmin has nothing. But part of that is no one really expected much from Dongmin coming into The Genius, especially season 3. And even now, going into season 4, like, obviously he'd won before, but there were some questions of can he really stand up to, like, Hyunmin and Jin-ho and Kyung-hoon and some other people in terms of these games towards the end where you have to figure things out and really work your way through. And even as of a week before the finale, we were saying, well, if the games are mathematical, then it seems like Kyung-hoon's going to have a pretty solid edge. And Dongmin, as he always does, was determined to disprove that.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that season 3 opening montage, we got the flashback in that of Hyunmin's pre-game interview, where when he was asked about Dongmin, he said he thought he'd be terrible at all of the games and that he'd be gone first. So it really is, like, interesting to, and I, you know, just listening to Kyung-hoon, the great Scott and Mike. I did an excellent interview with Kyung-hoon, and he was talking about the same thing, about how no one even really took Dongmin remotely seriously entering season three, and now at the end of season four, I think at least for me, it's safe to say he can hang with anyone when it comes to virtually any of these games.
Yeah, and do go and listen to that interview if you haven't already. The only regret that I have about that is that we weren't able to do it, and hopefully we can correct that ourselves in due course. But yeah, Kyung-hoon is a fantastic guest. It was great to listen to him, and just the fact that he was actually talking about The Genius in English was kind of surreal, and remains so to this day.
The most surreal thing about that whole thing was obviously the Ian Terry thing, where like Koreans love Ian Terry, apparently.
I love that Ian it's just like Mr. Sparkle in Korea. It's like Ian somehow is this cult icon that everyone knows about. That's just mind-blowing to me.
Right, and it's not for Big Brother, it's for like kicking himself in the face and running around the house naked.
Yeah, no, I know Ian was planning on going to Korea, and I was saying to Dom off air the other day that I'll take solidly the over now on him just going to random bars in downtown Seoul and kicking himself in the head until some girl recognizes him.
Yeah, if there was any doubt that Ian's going to have some kind of Asian fetish, so this really sealed the deal, I think.
All right, Dom, anything else or Koss before we move on to just the snow globes?
No, let's get on to the snow globes. This is my favorite part of the episode.
Yeah, this is something that Koss and I both were heavily invested. Well, not really. It was a $10 side bet, but heavily enough invested in. I, of course, was on Dongmin to get the majority of the snow globes, and Koss thought Kyung-hoon would get them. And I think, in fairness, we both thought it would be very close. But let's get into actually how this all played out. A lot of it went as we were expecting. Jung-hyun, of course, was the lock of the decade for Dongmin. Yo-won is kind of this agent of chaos goes for Kyung-hoon. And Sang-hun was the first toss-up that I was really hoping could go Dongmin, but I was not optimistic after the little Q&A with the contestants up on the big screen where Sang-hun's holding out his arms and telling Kyung-hoon to win.
Yeah, I don't think you should have been that optimistic about Sang-hun. I think he knows what's good for TV, and that was probably more important to him than anything else, and especially after he had a shot at getting revenge at Kyung-hoon, I think this was more of a lock than you're making it sound.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, in retrospect, I would definitely tend to take your side now. And then, as expected, Lawyer Yoon-sun and Yoo-yeon, I think we're all on board. We're probably going Kyung-hoon. And then, of course, I finally got my, murderer's row of Dongmin locks to get my hopes up in Dr. Yoon-sung, Jung-moon, and Kyung-ran. And I had sent Koss you a message, I think either the morning of the finale or the day before it, saying that my worst nightmare was it being 5-5 with Hyun-min as the deciding vote, and that is exactly what happened.
Yeah, I think for me, Dr. Yoon-sun going for Dongmin was the only surprising one there. Like, I think if we go back to our predictions the week before, I think we had, 9 out of 11 or 10 out of 11 locked in. He was the big surprise to me, because I thought, obviously Dongmin worked with him in episode 2 and led him and saved him from elimination there, but seeing what happened later where he was always working with Kyung-hoon, and Kyung-hoon seemed like the type that he would root for over the guy who previously won his season, that seemed like a shoo-in in the other direction to me, so that was kind of surprising.
I think it has a lot to do with the fact that they saw the episode where he went out. And I guess there was some issues, there was Facebook posts or something like that where it seemed like the tide was turning and Dr. Yoon-sung kind of realized that Kyung-hoon had screwed him over. And so I think that probably played a part in it.
Okay, interesting. But, as it turns out, Kyung-hoon will go into this with the 6-5 item advantage, which, hey, what could go wrong in the item department now?
Well, nothing, because I won my bet and I stay undefeated against you.
I don't know about undefeated. Are you actually undefeated against me?
I believe so, because I believe that streak would have ended had you not traded Dongmin for Kyung-min in our same draft.
You're welcome, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, all right. So the three games that we're going to be playing in these finals are already in a preset order. There is no first game selection item. And the first two games are going to be new games that we have not seen yet. And the third game is betting black and white. Okay, so the first game is Number Jangi, which is basically like Korean The Genius Stratego. First of all, Dom, do they have Stratego in England? Because this is a great game.
Of course they have Stratego in England. What kind of question is that?
There's so much stuff that's amazing that they don't have in England, like Democracy.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, moving swiftly on. So the second game is Mystery Sign, which is about reverse engineering what the function is based on the output, which I think is a neat twist on some of the games that we've seen before, where like you're given the process and you have to work out what the final result's going to be. And then, as you said, the third game is going to be Betting Black and White, but it doesn't end up reaching that point.
Yeah, and I would have thought, you know, like we've been talking about, not having seen Dongmin perform before, I know a lot of his deathmatch success, like his Yo-Hap success, a lot of people said, oh, well, he just studied his face off, and that was something anyone could have prepared for. I feel like that debate has been settled now, where it looks like when the studying is off the table, it looks like Dongmin is really the one who excels rather than Kyung-hoon, at least in these particular games.
Yeah, and that was always the big debate for me, where Dongmin clearly on like a social level and in terms of leadership is just head and shoulders above most of the rest of the cast. But the question for me was always, can he actually deliver when it comes to these mathematical games towards the end? And apparently, yes, he can.
Yeah, I wouldn't quite put him as a dominant figure above Kyung-hoon as far as just any random game. He would have a huge edge, but I do think it's obviously much closer than we expected, and it's possible Dongmin is the favorite. But I wouldn't count Kyung-hoon out in most random games.
No, I agree, but I do think a lot of people were just sleeping on Dongmin, kind of his actual skills for adjusting to these more just heavily math-based and like super intellectual games, rather than the ones where he can actually get people on his side doing what he wants them to do.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I think you can say for Numbajangi, that was maybe more down to a few mistakes here and there by Kyung-hoon, or just, you know, solid play on Dongmin's part. But in Mystery Sign, his performance there was completely preposterous. Like, it was just unlike anything we've seen before in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, minus the part where he gives away the 100% lock championship.
Yeah, the less said about that, the better, I think. But in terms of his actual answers to the questions, it was phenomenal. I mean, it was
fantastic. Well, I wanted to, before we get into like any of the specifics of this, I wanted to just bring up a point that I thought of, where it seems like if these are the finals games and like these were predetermined to be the finals games and Cooperative Hold'em was predetermined to be the final four game and something of a math-based game at final three, it really seems to me like in retrospect, a lot of the people who started on this season that we thought had equity were legitimately drawing dead, chiefly among them Sangmin. I think Sangmin is drawing completely dead to win this season based on these endgame games.
No.
No? You think Sangmin can hang with Dongmin and Hyunmin, who are likely going to be there, and probably Junsak, I would imagine, would be good at this, and K-Hound, who we've seen. I think Yu-Young could be good. Jinho and Yeowon probably have a huge edge on him.
If these are the exact games, then I can see your point, but here's what you have to keep in mind. There's a pretty good chance that in the other universe where Sangmin does really well in this season, a lot of those guys get taken out earlier, and I think there's a decent chance that the games that are chosen earlier on tend to be those more math-based games, because someone like Hyunmin, if they go to a deathmatch, would much rather play the Cooperative Hold'em or any of these math-oriented games, and that means that the final four or final three is Quattro. So I think Sangmin definitely has a chance in other permutations. As far as the finals goes, yeah, he probably would not have excelled in these, but I wouldn't say he was drawing dead. I think this is classic Colin Stone hyperbole.
I don't see how Sangmin is ever coming away winning 2 out of 3 of these finals games, even making it to the finals that often.
If only we could back in time and make some kind of friendly wager on this, I could settle it a bit more easily. But yeah, I mean, my question would be, other than Kyungran and maybe like Dr. Yunsen or Lawyer Yunsen, who would you take Sangmin against in some kind of mathematical game?
Nobody. I totally agree with that, but I think there's many times where he's just not going to go to very many death matches. And also, let's keep in mind that if, say, the final is Jungmoon versus Sangmin, I highly doubt that they're busting out 3 super math-oriented games. They're probably going to say, oh, let's play the Quattro again and let's leave it like it was in the past because we don't want Jungmoon to win the season versus the hero Sangmin.
Well, that's a big question. And I feel like, sorry for cutting you off, but I feel like I say that under the assumption that these games are predetermined and that these are the games he would have to be winning.
I think you're kidding yourself if you think that's true. But even so, I'm not saying he has a great chance, but I don't think he's drawing dead.
Okay. Well, I wanted to get the takes really hot really quickly, and I feel like mission accomplished. All right. So I guess let's get into just kind of some quick specifics about how Numbajangi ended up playing out. It seemed like the big determining factor was that Dongmin recognized, because of the way, like, some of the technicalities for the rules, The right idea was to try to get like two or three for ones where you only have to reveal one of your pieces and put one in jeopardy when you can make your opponent put multiple pieces in jeopardy. And it seems like that's how he really not only got a lot of Kyung-hoon's pieces off the board to get a material edge, but also got a lot more information because the pieces would stay flipped up once they were ever revealed. And then the other thing was it looked like, at least if my basic understanding, very basic understanding of chess is applicable here, Kyung-hoon's idea to kind of kill time in the beginning and basically let Dongmin just take all of the space and really control the center is about the worst idea you can have. And maybe, like, I'm guessing the way he said it was he wanted to get a better idea of where the bombs were because he knew he couldn't be moving any of his bombs. But I just feel like you're giving up so much of the initiative when you let Dongmin really pick and choose how he attacks.
I tend to agree with you. I think it's natural to want to play defense in these sort of games just because you don't necessarily know how it's going to work out, and so you want to take the more cautious approach. But I think that rule alone, where you can have two or three pieces knocked out by one or at least turned over by one, I think makes it to where you have to play aggressively. And I think Kyung-hoon maybe just didn't think that through, because I think he kind of got the point once it started happening, but by then it was too late. Dongmin had already been progressing his pieces down the board. But I think Dongmin ultimately just had the right idea that you have to be aggressive, and the key points are going to be turning over two or three tiles with one.
Yeah, and I think another key point for Dongmin, because he had that kind of early initiative, he ended up basically getting to control the center of a board and using his blind item on the piece that was doing that, where he got to eliminate a six and keep his number hidden, where when it's against specifically a six, it could either be really high or really low, and the six would still lose. So Kyung-hoon would still have to be really reserved about going near the middle.
Yeah.
So I guess basically just everything came up Dongmin. When I was rewatching this, it seemed like he got to use his items basically perfectly like he would want to if he could draw up how to use them.
Do either of you have thoughts on like the optimal mine placement? Because it seems like if the game is going to turn around, it's going to be because you like wander your piece ill-advisedly into a mine that you should probably be thinking about.
I think there is like some idea. I'm not a big Stratego player, but I did used to play it like a decade and a half ago, and I thought it was really fun. There are like some ideas of putting a bomb in like your second to the front row on like the far right just for like deception value, but I think that is heavily outweighed by the value of putting them near your king, so anything that comes close to your king gets blown up first.
Yeah, it almost seemed too obvious to me that they should be around the king, so much so that I started thinking, well, maybe this is so obvious that it's incorrect.
Right.
But the more I think about it, the more I think it probably ultimately is correct to have two or three of them around your king and then one on one of the edges of the board.
Yeah, and the way I noticed when they were doing their practice runs, you could set your bombs up. I believe it was a six-wide grid, so if you put your bombs in the second and fifth columns, basically, no one can get through there without being adjacent to one of them. So if you just put your king behind that, someone's got to kill a couple pieces to get to it.
Mm-hmm. So it seems like this game is one which you can debate the optimal strategies for it, but it's not fundamentally broken in the way that maybe the second game is, and we'll get onto that in a second.
Yeah, this was, I mean, as we've gotten into a little bit, this was basically just a shellacking by Dongmin here, where it seemed like everything, he had the better ideas and everything really tended to work out for him, and it probably didn't hurt that he had the item advantage in this game despite being at the item minority, which would also be the case in game two. Alright, anything else on game one?
I just want to say, once Dongmin won the first game, I was a little disappointed because of the daily motion bar, and with it popping up, I knew that we probably didn't have enough time for two games unless the second one just went incredibly quickly. So, unfortunately, I wish Bumdy would have put like an extra 30 minutes of black after the end, but it didn't quite work out, and I think at this point I knew Dongmin had it in the bag.
I was spending most of the previous week like fiddling around on Daily Motion trying to think like, okay, is there some way I can avoid being spoiled by this? And I just about managed it for most of it. But that was a big concern for me as well.
Yeah, I actually managed to stay untime spoiled here. When I loaded up part two and put it on full screen, I was really doing everything I could to delude myself of any like sense of time, and it actually worked out. And when Dongmin buzzed in again at the end of this game, I still legitimately thought there was enough time for there to potentially be a game three. And sorry, there's a fucking chainsaw going. Can you guys hear that?
Certainly leaving that in.
Sorry. All right. So I guess it is worth flagging up, though. You know, time spoilers aside, it is interesting. I would have thought that historically, without thinking about it, the person who wins game one would, of course, have a huge edge. But it had been the case in two of the first three seasons. Yeowon and Hyunmin both won their game ones and then went on to lose the finals. So it's certainly not over yet for Kyung-hoon, unless you know that there's only like 20 minutes left in the episode. Yeah, that is really fucking annoying. I'm sorry. All my windows are closed.
It's fine on this end. I think you referencing it is going to be more obtrusive than the
okay,
actual sound.
Well, I'm trying to mute my microphone, which is when I'm not talking.
Well, that's a good policy in general. So
you referencing it is a little weird, but it's also great because I know Dom's going to leave all that in. So it's
okay, so the second game is Mystery Sign, where the two players both offer up an input. You get to see the output of that, and you have to determine from that what the function is. So it's a game which... the concept is kind of familiar, but again, it's not something which you really would have practiced or could practice unless you know exactly what's happening here.
Right. This is really like going from like A to D, where you have to figure out the function and then also figure out what the output of that new function would be with the two numbers in the problem. So it's really tough. It's like the ultimate before and after on Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, and I imagine there was some editing here to make it look a lot shorter than it really was. Like, you don't want to have the entire thinking period just laid out there on the screen. But the way that they were able to do this so quickly was baffling to me. Like, the initial, the first few, I could just about wrap my head around, and I was thinking, okay, I can follow along with this. And then it very quickly degenerated to the point where I was just completely lost and wasn't even trying anymore.
I almost felt like they did a disservice to us. I feel like they didn't explain the game correctly, and I was just assuming that it was going to be some A to B kind of thing versus A to D. And once I saw the first few, I got them, but once we got into the weirder ones, I was completely lost as far as even the answers that popped up. They didn't seem to make a ton of sense, and some of them seemed incredibly obscure, and I just felt like I almost missed a part of the rules.
Interesting. I think they were just really hard problems for me. Like, I'll watch Survivor games or Big Brother games and try to, like, play along with my little mental memory cube and what card did Jeff Probst put up. This one, for me, after, like, the second round, I was done attempting to play along at home.
Yeah,
I think this is just like a complicated math game.
I did think at first it was going to be restricted to, like, the basic arithmetic operations. Like, okay, maybe it's this to the power of this or this plus this and then you do something else. But when it's like, okay, you take the second, fourth, and sixth digits, and then apply this weird operation to them. Like, I didn't think it was going to go that far.
Yeah, the one that really threw me off was the one where it was like a clock problem, where you had to think of it in terms of time.
Like, how would you
That's kind of my...
Like, how would you even think to do that unless you had some, like, priming for that already?
Exactly. That's what confused me, is when that one in particular came up, I said, clearly I missed something in the rules, and then I went back and watched them, and no, I didn't. I don't know why that would necessarily come up, and it just seemed like such a random thing to throw in. So I feel like they must have explained more off-screen that, hey, these can be completely out-of-the-box answers. They're not just basic formulas. But I just felt like we were in the dark for most of it.
I actually felt somewhat similarly the first time that I watched the Number Jenga game. I was paying close attention to the rules, and I thought I just, like, missed the explanation of what the minus battles were, and I was able through context to figure them out. But even rewatching the episode, it seemed like they didn't explain the minus battles very well. Like, they just showed an example of it, but didn't explain what was happening.
I don't know if this was intentional or not, but I did like that some of the problems, they were set up so if somebody did just try to ruin it by giving some outrageously large number, you could, like, infer that it wasn't something that was like, oh, you multiply it by this and then do this, because it had to be related to the digits in some way. So I liked that there was, like, an inbuilt defense against that way of hacking the game. But then I think, if they're aware of that, then why would you run this game at all, given that it is mostly susceptible to that?
Well, I think this is something that's interesting to get into, because Koss, it was so long ago that we were talking about this the first time, when Kyung-hoon was up 1-0, someone, and I believe it was you, put forth the idea of just always going with those high ridiculous numbers and making every hint, the next 160 hints, basically useless.
Yeah, this seemed incredibly obvious to me. I was stunned that this wasn't exactly how it played out. I mean, the fact that you could pick any number was not explained. At least I kind of assumed it had to be in some universe of like 1 to 100. But when Kyung-hoon busts out the 8 billion, my you know, I thought, okay, well, if you can use any number, this seems really obvious that once you go up 1-0, you use billion, trillion, quadrillion numbers, and you consistently change them. You don't use the same one over and over. And if you do that, nobody can ever solve it. I mean, I realize there's something in there like Dongmin found, but for the most part, if you're using completely different trillion numbers, I think it's impossible, and I think you could just basically stalemate it once you go up 1-0, have nothing happen in the next 10 rounds, and you win. And I was stunned that this did not come into play.
Well, I think the question is the spirit of the game. I'm not sure that's how they really drew it up.
That's true. This is Korea, and that's probably not how they want to do it. But if we were playing in America, you know, I would have total faith in somebody like a Dan Gieseling to come in here and just do that and say, yep, I found the hack in the game. Too bad.
And if we do get to talk to Kyung-hoon, that's something that I think we definitely should plan on asking him. Like, did you consider doing that? And then if you did you then turn it down because you didn't want to play outside of those ethical boundaries or whatever?
Right, like Sangmin at least allegedly thought of the correct strategy in his death match against Kyung-ran in season 1, but thought it was kind of out of bounds.
And then told Jung-hyun to do it, and of course he did. So I don't know how much credence you can really give that. But yeah, I would have thought that would be the natural go-to strategy, and it seems like a pretty insurmountable one. Because there are going to be some rounds where, regardless of how big the number is, there's going to be some answer that you can build from it. But I don't know. Those seem like they're few and far between. And also, if the number is entirely random and there's no obvious pattern to it, then it's going to be hard to infer almost anything. So yeah, I mean, I think there's basically no way to get around that unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, I mean, even as dumb as this sounds, if you can make the number as big as you want, just the visual aspect of them not being able to fit the larger numbers on the screen may be enough to win it for you. So you could just sit there and say 7, 6, 8, 9, 4, 3 and just keep rattling off 40, 50 numbers. There's no way anybody's going to figure that out.
I wonder if the game did stalemate in that way, if they would impose some kind of condition where it can only be 10 digits long or something. But even then, I mean, for any of the arithmetic ones, if it's that large, then there's basically nothing you can do.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't say that it's the wrong strategy. I think it's just tough to actually execute when you have however many angry producers looking down at you.
It seems very easy to me. Just, you know, push the boundaries as far as you can until they stop you.
Yeah, so one thing that I actually noticed that I thought was smart in this game, which probably wouldn't have crossed my mind, it actually seemed like, as usual, position almost played a role, at least early on, where Dongmin got to be the second one to give his number for the hint, and before he went public with what that number was, he knew it and was already starting to do like the arithmetic for plusing and minusing, adding and subtracting, I guess, with Kyung-hoon's number. So I think that is actually something where if you can like run the clock down before you make your answer public, I think that is actually a kind of a big edge that I think got him that early point. So I guess the next really notable moment from this is when Kyung-hoon he uses his secret item, so he doesn't have to go public with his first number at all. And then after the second round of hints, he's like leaning over his buzzer ready to go, and he asks if it's too late to buzz in already. And then Dongmin gets in there ahead of him.
Yeah, this was a little strange. I'm not saying that Kyung-hoon did anything wrong, but I think he's just not the type to think through and say, I have this in the bag. If I don't react, then I'll get it for sure. I think he's just a little emotional, and that's why he was slamming for the buzzer immediately. I think someone maybe who's a little less emotional probably would have figured out that they should just wait.
Yeah, and I guess it does kind of tip to Dongmin like, oh, if he's that confident after two, even if I don't know what his first number is, I know. I guess I kind of have to know. It's got to be a pretty specific thing that he's for him to be that certain. It almost makes Dongmin like narrow his range of possible ideas for what it could be.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So that was really impressive. And at that point, you know, even not being time spoiled, I was thinking, okay, this really looks like it's going to be a Dongmin win here.
Yeah, and so we see Dongmin get these answers early on, which he gets almost scarily quickly, and it's like, okay, this guy is the real deal. And then I think it was in the fifth round where he just instantly buzzes in on some absurdly hard question and gets it right. That's what really catapulted him into that elite tier for me. Like, this, like, he is just on another level from everybody else.
Yeah, I came into the finale saying that I didn't care if Dongmin won or lost, this would not change my opinion of where he stood in the rankings of, you know, the pantheon of Genie's players. But this game in particular totally changed my mind. This was something that I don't think any of us expected. And as soon as I saw it, I had the same reaction. Like, okay, clearly we've missed that Dongmin is an incredible math mind as well. And I think in particular the visual aspect of math skills is something that kind of goes underrated. It's this and scale, those kind of games being similar. And Dongmin clearly is excellent at that. So that's something I don't think we were aware of, but it really just catapults him to a whole new level.
Yeah, and to be clear, you're not saying that because he won, more of the fashion in which he won, I imagine.
Exactly. It's not that he won, it's how he won and this new piece of his brain that I don't think any of us knew existed. And not only is it there, but it's stronger than Kyung-hoon's, which really blows my mind, so I think that's just incredible.
Yeah, I'm totally on board. I was on completely in the same school of thought entering the finale, where whether he wins or loses, Dongmin will, for me, be the clear number one genius player ever. But absolutely with you that watching him play these games that we know he had not seen before and play them so strongly against what I would say is some of the toughest competition in this context in genius history really bumped him up for me to the point that I don't even think it's arguable that he's got to be in like the super elite pantheon. And I think there was a perception of Dongmin, like, entering season four that, oh, you know, the only deathmatch we've seen him in was Monorail, and he totally punted that, and Yunju should have, you know, won it after his first move, and he got really lucky to get bailed out there, and we don't know how he's going to be at these mental games. I think after seeing him in season four, and in these finals in particular, it is completely a no-brainer that the Monorail game was just the worst off day of his career, and that is way out of the realm of the ordinary for Dongmin.
Yeah, and to me, the fact that he did badly in that main match as well almost confirms that in my mind, if that makes sense, because it's like, if he did well in the main match, but then badly in the death match, you might think that he just wasn't suited to the death match. But then, when he does badly in both, despite, you know, doing pretty well in most of the others, you can think, well, okay, maybe he just was having a really bad day, there were other circumstances there that you know, outside of the game that were leading him to not really be focusing properly. And so, yeah, I think at this point we have ample evidence to conclude that that was just, you know, that was a one-off, and everything else that we've seen from him is more representative of him as a player.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I talk about every other reality player only being their greatest upside is to join Dongmin. There is definitely a case to be made that, as we see in one of these late rounds, he has won the game. He has won the season. He has run it back. All he has to do is never buzz in again, and he buzzes in again. Do you think that his kind of, like, arrogance, I think, is, to a certain extent, what that comes down to? Is that something that we are overlooking?
Maybe, because if he's going to have some, like, tragic downfall, it will be because of his hubris. Like, that is the one quality which, like we said before, he doesn't really take input from other people. He has this high opinion of his own ability, which seems to be justified by and large, but when it isn't, that does get him into some tricky situations. And so I can certainly imagine this going completely pear-shaped for him. And even though I was happy that he won and almost in awe of how he did it, I was rooting so hard for Kyung-hoon to somehow come back in that second game, win the third game, and punish him for that mistake.
I totally agree. I was rooting for it, and I think we'll get into this, I'm sure, but this is what I think makes me have pause about Dongmin being this upper mega top tier reality star. The fact that he is so arrogant, and I get that it's Korea and people want to play honorably to the end, but this is just not a mistake, or not even a mistake. This is not a move that other true super elite players would do. They would take the lock win and go home. But I think the fact that he is so arrogant in his ability to boost the win and all that, it certainly makes me at the very least have pause, making him this incredible, incredible player.
Well, I feel like that kind of arrogance is just a result of his general demeanor, which is just mega confident in himself, which is what allows him to have this much influence over people in the first place and get to these positions. So I feel like it kind of comes with the territory where, yes, maybe like 5 or 10% of the time that might get in the way, but it's so worth it for the other 90% of the time.
Sure. I mean, he's a great player regardless of whether he's arrogant or not. But can you imagine if he buzzes in, misses that question, Kyung-hoon comes back, ties it, wins the game, wins the third game. We're now talking about Dongmin as a guy who potentially should have lost both games because he should have not gotten away with Monorail. And he would have only lost this one because of pure arrogance. I just think that's something that if you're talking about a perfect player, you know, if you could build them in a laboratory, they would not have this same level of arrogance to where they would be buzzing in here for any reason whatsoever.
Can you totally see Dr. Will Kirby doing something like that? Is he not the most arrogant guy that has ever stepped foot in the Big Brother house?
Of course, and that's why I am not crazy like you, and I don't have Dr. Will Kirby as this mega elite top tier player.
Well, okay, save that debate for the Big Brother podcast we promised to do like 15 months ago now. But yeah, I mean, to me, that would be the greatest outcome in the history of reality TV if Dongmin buzzed in and Kyunghoon was somehow able to turn that around. Like, that would put Topaz to shame. That would put everything else to shame. That would be up there. I don't think anything could top it.
If that happened, I would be convinced that this entire franchise was scripted. And then I was just a complete sucker, and I wouldn't have even cared.
Yeah, I would be completely okay with that. It would still be entertaining.
Yeah, I think in that scenario, then the final 30 seconds of the show are just a giant Rickroll, and you're like, oh, okay, you've been watching this for 4 seasons, and it's completely scripted. Yeah.
But like Bandage Man, you know, tears his bandages off, and it's just a giant troll face just glaring at the audience.
He's Yohan the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, there are now, like, 3 chainsaws going on behind. I don't know where they're getting all of these.
It's like a beautiful symphony. It's great.
All right. So anything else on Memory Box before we just kind of get into the larger implications of the season and Dongmin being the winner? Just from, like, a TV standpoint to get into, I really loved this ending here, the Oasis Don't Look Back in Anger montage. I thought that was great.
That was good, although it was a bit dampened by the fact that there seemed to be, like, this noticeable lack of enthusiasm for Dongmin's win. It's like they walk in, they're clapping politely, and then they just stand there not really doing anything.
Yeah, that's something that crossed my mind too. It looked like when Dongmin won, Sangmin looked visibly upset by it, and it looked like no one was even happy for him when he got the point that theoretically locked it up.
Yeah, I guess at that stage, given that they'd known that he'd won for a while and it took a few more points for it to get there, then by that point they've already like processed it, they're not as emotional anymore, so it was a bit more muted. But even so, it seemed like they didn't really care as much as maybe they wanted to.
I mean the one where he first sealed it before he buzzed in again.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah, even then no one was cheering for him, certainly, or maybe they were just taking the footage of a different shot because they wanted it the moment to be like, oh, poor Kyunghoon, rather than Hooray Dongmin, because we'll get to Hooray Dongmin later.
Well, maybe it's that the majority of people were rooting for Kyunghoon. I don't know if they were aware, but he got the most snow globes.
Well, it still seems like, in general, at that point, they would just kind of feign happiness for whoever the winner was.
Sure. I did love, too, at the very end, that we should probably be going out with, oh my goodness, Dongmin is the greatest ever, and instead Sangmin steals the show and said, see, we haven't added another winner to the mix, and totally steals the spotlight.
Sangmin's like, yep, the 3 of us did it again.
And then gets them all to do that ridiculous, like, ring-a-ring a rosy thing around the garnet table, which is... Like, the fact that he was able to get the dealers in on that was proof of Sangmin's greatness, I think.
Well, there was some Korean word for it. It's apparently some, like, thing, I would guess, at least, some, like, custom.
This is definitely like a Sangmin side bet where he's taking the money he's owed. He's like, okay, if I can get the people on the Genius to do a ring around the rosy, you have to give me $1,000.
Yeah. All right. I guess, guys, let's get right into it. Dongmin is our winner. He has run it back. Where does he stack up for you, Koss? If he is not in that super elite pantheon, where is he among reality contestants for you?
He's in the super top tier, but I think I would probably put exactly 2 people ahead of him. So, yeah, he's still fantastic, but I think his arrogance is probably what holds me back. And I was probably like the last person to the party as far as making Dongmin the true GOAT, as far as the Genius goes. And I think that's in part because when I look at the other true, absolute top tier reality people, I feel like their charms would work on me, and I think maybe what holds me back from Dongmin is that I see a lot more of his flaws, and I think I would be the guy like Yuyun who's constantly trying to overthrow him, where I just don't have that same feeling about the other people in my top tier. So maybe it's just purely a personal thing that I see his flaws and I feel like they're more exploitable, but he's still a fantastic player and I would probably put him number 3 overall in terms of reality TV performance.
But would you get misted? You don't see through Dan Giesling?
Well, I think what I look at is the charisma is kind of what takes over these games. I mean, we can talk about deathmatch skill and strategy and all that, but the truth is all these games boil down to do people like you more than the person that you're trying to compete against? And I think I would be deathly afraid of somebody like Dan Gieseling just misting people no matter how much work I put in. I feel like he could probably always convince them at the last moment that, no, Kaz is an idiot, you should go with me. I don't know, I feel like I'd have a better chance with Dongmin because of his arrogance. I feel like there's more people who are constantly looking to overthrow him and they just weren't successful. And I think that's ultimately what holds him back from being in that same tier.
Yeah, I would be more of a Yoan, I think. But I take Koz's point that his charm does seem to be a bit more transparent. But I think that just comes back down to the genius having better casting than most Western reality shows, where maybe Dongmin, if you dropped him on a season of Survivor or Big Brother, could just do the same thing and have even less competition there. And conversely, you take some of the greats that we identify from those shows, put them on the genius, and it would be a much more competitive field all of a sudden.
I think I would be much more like a Jinho if you guys are the Yoan and you and Yuyun, where I would be happy to go along with the ride and just take my pass to hopefully compete for myself near the end against him.
So you're a Sandra, is that what you're saying?
I don't think I'm a Sandra. I think I'm more of an Ian Terry.
So what you're saying is you get second place all the time, just like in all of your bets with Koz.
I guess there that's what go. I'm saying. Yeah.
No, I guess the way I look at it, too, is if we put these people in their other games, so we take Dongmin and we put him on Big Brother, or we take Dan and we put him on Survivor, or whatever, I don't really see a scenario where someone like Dan or Kim is a first boot in these other games, but I could absolutely see a scenario where Dongmin comes in and just pisses people off and zanes his way out of the game. So I think that too probably plays a part in it, just the arrogance and the, oh, I don't know if my first impression of this guy is so good. I think maybe that's what holds him back from being with those other two. I don't know if that's fair, and again, I'm not factoring in his deathmatch skill here, which is clearly incredible, but that's just kind of my gut feel on it.
Yeah, I think his playstyle is one which only resonates with that specific culture with those specific people, and it doesn't really convert in the way that someone like Dan might be able to. At the same time, though, we said that coming into season four that there were players on the season who wouldn't take kindly to him, that everyone has seen him do this before. There were people from season three who wouldn't want to see him go back to back, and yet he just did almost effortlessly anyway.
Yeah, I mean, when I watched season three, episode one, I remember thinking to myself about Dongmin, this guy, to me, is just like a much wolfier version of Kim Gura. I don't think he's going to do well at all. And of course, that opinion has drastically changed. I wonder if there's something to that, though, where people, like we've seen, like Hyunmin did... Okay, there's a fucking cement mixer in my backyard or something. But, like, okay, this is beyond... I can't talk over this.
I think this is a sign that the universe just wants you to stop podcasting. People are sick of your voice.
Like, Hyunmin, again, in that opening interview, expected nothing of him. And then I think there may be something, too, that kind of, like Rob Cesternino says, lowered expectations are the key to happiness. When people actually do get to interact with Dongmin, it seems like they are almost across the board all really taken by him, and he does exceed their expectations.
Yeah, I didn't know it was possible to be wolfier than Kim Gura, but I think I take your point.
All right, I'm literally going outside to see what kind of machinery this is. One second.
Alright, meanwhile, Koz, do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, we have to leave this in, please God.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Perfect. No, I just think, ultimately, if you're looking at what makes a true great player, I think arrogance is one of those things that it's always going to be a big factor in terms of people not liking you or having pause when they're dealing with you. And I think it's one of those, you can have many flaws in Survivor, Big Brother, the genius, but I think that's one that is going to come back to bite you more often than not. And ultimately, I think Dongmin's an incredible player. I really do, but I think that's what holds him back from being the true elite reality person of all time, like I'm sure Colin will give us when he comes back from the cement mixer.
No, it's not a cement mixer. It is a wood chipper, by the way. They cut down the tree, and now they're chipping the wood in my fucking driveway.
This podcast is certainly not PG-13 anymore, but...
this is ridiculous. It's a Sunday afternoon. Like... I'm calling up my town office. Anyway, okay, but legitimately, this is really distracting to the point of, like, super frustration for me. I don't know if that's coming across.
Just a bit, yeah.
I just looked outside. They have a massive tree to put through this thing. Is there any way we can, like, give them an hour and resume? I know football is like, this is really, I genuinely would rather not have our big genius blowout podcast have this shit going on in the back of it.
If we've done this at any point in the last 4 weeks, there would not have been a wood chipper outside. But regardless, I'm happy to keep on going if Koz is. So you can bow out if you like. But
I don't want to bow out. I just don't want to. I mean, it's literally, it's all I can hear in my room. And I certainly don't want to bow out. I just want to, like, wait for them to be done if that isn't a big issue for anyone.
Can you just mute your mic between talking, or?
Well, it's when I talk, I can't even hear myself.
Well, we can hear you just fine, so it's, you know, make that sacrifice for the listeners. All right, I'm sure they're enjoying it. Okay. So, anyway, Koz, I know you were saying there were, I think, two people that you would have in that very top tier above Dongmin. I have a feeling I know who one of them is, but be specific about that if you can.
Yeah, I'm going with Dan Gieseling and Kim Spradlin at one and two in either order, and then I go Dongmin at number three.
Right, okay, well, for me,
Colin,
Colin,
as the premier Dan fan on the internet, what do you have to say about that?
If I'm looking at actual players of games, I would not dispute that. But I guess what's more of a priority for me, like when I'm evaluating Dongmin, is not only just how impressive he is in the games, but also just how great he is on TV. If we are thinking purely in terms of, like, not just win equity, but, like, charisma and ability to influence people, I think Dan and Kim are totally justifiable. I think they're borderline unparalleled in their own games, and I think Dongmin is very much the same way in The Genius. But if I'm looking at, like, actual, like, what I would consider, like, my reality TV Mount Rushmore, where I'm taking everything into consideration, like, game skill and how they are on TV, for me, I only have three of these four spots filled out yet, because I don't think anyone's on the level of Dongmin, Sangmin, and Will Kirby. I don't think there's a fourth person who belongs there yet. Dan is so bad on TV for the most part.
That's a ridiculous statement. And if we're turning this into who's best on TV, I think you bring in a whole different conversation. Sangmin's way up there, but I don't think that should be what we're discussing here.
What I mean is the three people for me that I have by far had the most fun watching and am most impressed by are Dongmin, Sangmin, and Will. And Dan's not, Dan's not all mostly bad on TV. It's just his confessionals are tilting, and a lot of what Dan does frustrates me more so than apparently most other people. But I don't think Dan, at least for me, is on that level with those three, and I don't think Kim, and part of that's just because her season, she just crushed it to the point that it was boring. Certainly not on that level for me. And I think it would probably take someone like Tony doing it again for him to have that cumulative TV presence and ability with the game to get on that list for me.
Yeah, I think if we are just keeping it just on a game level and without turning this into the Big Brother podcast, Koz, where would Derek stack up there for you? I mean, it's hard to say because we've only seen him play once, but keeping that in mind, what would you have to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's in the next tier. Like, if you're going to bump down from those top three for me, I think you start putting in people like Sangmin, Hyunmin, Derek, Dr. Will, Suri, Rob Cisternino, Boston Rob, people like that. But I think if we're looking at who are the true top players, not top TV people, I wouldn't put Derek up there, but he's certainly in that second tier.
Okay, and I will say, I do get on board with that. Like, if we are looking at I think Dan, Kim, and Dongmin, excuse me, is a solid list of people who much more demonstrably than anyone else have really taken control of their game, of like every aspect of their seasons.
I agree with the wood chipper.
That's good, because after hearing... Yeah, I think Colin, your opinions are so bad you should go throw yourself in the wood chipper.
Like some Fargo... Spoiler alert on Fargo, I guess, but yeah.
So if we go the other way and define it just in terms of entertainment, then I think Sangmin, like you said, has to be number one with the bullet. But beyond that, where does Dongmin enter into the equation for you, and then where do the other names we've mentioned stack up there?
I think if you're doing it purely on entertainment value, I probably wouldn't put Dongmin in the super top tier. He's great TV, don't get me wrong, but when you look at what Sangmin does, you know, I feel like Sangmin's almost in his own tier. I'd probably throw like Tony and Coach in there as well, but that's probably the extent of the list for me. I think those three to me stand out beyond anyone else who's ever been on television as far as just pure entertainment, pure gamesmanship, as you know, screwing people over and getting away with it, or just being constantly entertaining. I think those three stand out for me.
Yeah. My issue with Dongmin is I find him entertaining. I know there are lots of people out there who are just completely turned off by him. So he is a polarizing character, first of all. But then when he's entertaining, it's often at the expense of anyone else being able to be entertaining, because he kind of crowds out everything else. He has to be the biggest character on the stage. Meanwhile, I think someone like Sangmin is off doing his own thing, but in the process, other people get a chance to shine and be themselves, and I don't really think that's true with Dongmin.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to for me is Sangmin, I don't know if there's anyone I've heard of who has watched The Genius that has not absolutely fallen in love with Sangmin, whereas I totally get it when there are people that are just not that into Dongmin. Like, Dongmin, I don't think he's an acquired taste. Like, I think most people would like him, but I do think he's polarizing, where a lot of people potentially will just strongly dislike him. Like, I know Shireen is one of these people who, in her eyes, I've heard her describe Dongmin as like an uncooperative bully who just strong arms people. And while I don't see that, I do kind of understand how people could come away with that impression. So I get, like, I think Sangmin is the much more like universally beloved character, and it is in general just like the more entertaining person. At least for my money, I think Sangmin would be in a tier by himself across all of reality TV for entertainment. I think the number of episodes that he has turned into tens almost single-handedly is unprecedented.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I'm at work or when I'm bored, I'll turn on the highlight reel, and so I'll go back and watch like a key 5-minute scene of The Genius that I love, and almost all of them involve Sangmin. You know, they're almost all these huge Sangmin moments, and I love Coach, I love Tony, I love all these guys, but I think Sangmin really, like you said, is kind of in a tier by himself in that he is always thinking TV first, yet he still plays a pretty good game, but just the amount of things he pulls off, it's incredible to watch. I don't think there's anyone in that entertainment tier along with Sangmin.
Yeah, well, how do you think he stacks up to Dongmin in the actual, like, strategic games? I know we are on the same page that he would get curb stomped by Dongmin at the, like, mental games or, like, the finals games that we saw this season. But when it comes to actually influencing the people around him, we saw him put on an absolute clinic in season 2. Do you think he can really stack up to Dongmin in that regard? I think he can. I think second only to Dongmin, I think he really stands out as easily the best social player.
Without question, I think he's better than Dongmin. I think if you're looking purely at social ability, I think Sangmin is unparalleled in The Genius. I don't think there's anybody who really even comes close. Yes, Dongmin exerted his influence over a bunch of people, but yeah, Dongmin was willing to stick his own neck out to save Sangmin. And I think you see Sangmin screw over everyone every single week, and then they're just like, oh, haha, it's Sangmin, no big deal. That's pretty much unheard of, other than maybe Dan Gieseling in the history of reality TV in general.
I would have said Will Kirby would be the precedent for it in reality TV history.
I think more people had a problem with Will than you like to remember, because you're such a Will fanboy. You kind of forget all the leaks in his game. But I think ultimately, if you put somebody in a situation and say, you know, can you please get out of this? Like, I'm going to substitute this person in for me. I need them to get me out of the toughest situation in the world. I think you're looking at, like, Sangmin, Dan Gieseling, and Russell Hantz as far as people who just, they can rally at any point and get away with anything. Obviously, Russell's kind of a different example in that he does it through brute force, but I think the other two, they, you know, they just use their charisma to blast through.
Sorry, this fucking wood, like, it's so loud that I don't even want to talk when they're actually putting the wood through it. Like,
are you able to move to a different room? Yeah. Or...
No, I'm on a desktop.
Oh. How antiquated.
I think it's kind of funny, honestly.
It is kind of funny, but it's just so annoying. Like...
Well, yeah, but we're laughing at your expense. It's normal, so I don't see the difference.
I just... like, my concern is not my frustration. It's the audio quality and having a fucking wood chipper in the background the whole time.
Look, it's going to be fine, honestly. I assure you.
We get so many complaints about the audio quality.
No, like,
then that's perfect. This won't be any worse than normal.
Yeah, we've submitted much worse than this before, believe me.
Okay.
Dom, when you, or whichever one of you picks the picture out on the website, you have to just Google, like, random wood chipper and throw it up there.
Sure.
Like, isn't that really loud?
There has to be
it's
some,
really not.
There has to be some good, like, wood chipper theme song as well that we can tie in there. But
like Woody Woodpecker or something. I don't, we'll figure something out.
All right, so back to this TV show that we're talking about. So we think Sangmin and Dongmin obviously are going to be in that conversation. Let's talk about the rest of the cast then, who maybe weren't so lucky. So obviously my boy Jonghyun, it was tragic to see him go first. Really set the tone for the rest of the season that there's going to be constant heartbreak every single week. But for those of you who aren't as big fanboys of him as I am, what do you have to think about him?
I want to know to what extent you actually believe in Jonghyun as a player. Like,
oh, and 100%
which is more of an anomaly? Which is more... I can't hear you because this goddamn wood chipper, despite wearing headphones. Which is more anomalous, his season 2 outcome or his season 4 outcome?
I think he's somewhere in the middle, honestly. Like, if you look at what had to happen for him to go out like that in season 4, you can say he made a bad choice of deathmatch opponent, but I think he would have been behind in those circumstances with a lot of people that he could have picked. But like, it took Junsuk doing his own thing and going rogue, Sangmin then jumping in at the last moment, and it landing on Jonghyun as opposed to anybody else. Like, it could just as easily have happened to anybody who was next in the rotation, but he happened to draw the short straw there. So I think that was just variance, honestly. And I don't, you know, I'm not going to say he's going to get third place every single time, but I think he would be around for a few episodes at least.
I love that Dom is more blind about Jonghyun being a good or bad player than even like the Sandra fans out there thinking she's actually good. If Dom actually believes that Jonghyun isn't a terrible player, I don't know what to think. I honestly thought he was kidding when he said he was 100% serious.
Well, look, we know that he's up there in the top pantheon of characters. It's just a question of how good a player he is.
What's your?
Oh, I would agree.
What's your number one Jonghyun game move highlight, Dom?
Well, there's so many, it's hard to really pick any of them.
Was it when he got his clue stolen by Hongchul, or got Hongchul showed him the wrong clue or whatever?
I think it's got to be when every other person knows that the dies can be removed and like cut in half, and he still has no clue as people are throwing. And he still gets a 9 out of 10. So.
How about the 3 back-to-back death matches that he won very easily? How about that?
I mean, death matches are just the ultimate form of variance, Dom. He just went on a heater.
Sure.
No, I will grant you that. It was impressive to win those.
I wish Jonghyun spoke in just be like a Jonghyun and Dom interview for like 6 hours and just hear him gush.
It'd be wonderful.
It's great.
Well, it's like, it would be a window into what I'm going to become in 20 years. So I need to start like preparing now. But let's talk about someone else who is famously bad in main matches and supposedly good in death matches, and that's Yeowan, who, again, I was really hoping for a deep run from Yeowan. I think he was a big highlight of season 2, and it was sad to see him go out so early, but again, maybe you disagree about that.
I mean, I disagree. No, I think it's great. I love the fact that you guys drank each other's Kool-Aid so much that you actually talked yourself into Yeowan being a good genius player.
I think
he's
this
not
is
that
hilarious.
Good.
Sorry.
No way.
Okay,
agree that obviously his 0-13 record in main matches leaves a little bit to be desired. But I think the Tactical Yuut Nori, from what reports I've heard from people who know the game, that's basically a coin flip. I will absolutely grant that he did not take a good approach in Horror Race if he wanted to avoid last place. But I certainly, like, I think in original genius rules, Yeowan has a ton of equity. We have certainly learned that in Garnet match seasons, that is not going to be the case.
Yeah.
Right, but Garnet matches are the rule fix because of him. They said, we screwed up the game, we let this sneak through. The whole point is that somebody should be accumulating garnets. Let's come up with a garnet match so Yeowan can't Yeowan his way through the game again.
Because it was too good.
It's not a twist.
He broke the genius. He solved it. He found the hack, he executed it perfectly, and made it all the way to the finals. I don't know what more you could ask from him.
This is like saying that Ozzy found the hack in Survivor because he won a bunch of challenges in Redemption Island matches. No, it's not true. Yeowan is a mediocre genius player at best.
Okay, do you think who had more win equity for season 4? Because I think it is at least arguable that Yeowan had more equity than Sangmin.
No way. Because he's going to end up going to 8 death matches in the season. And if you're talking about all these other great players who are great at games like Dongmin and Hyungmin, how is Yeowan going to beat them 8 times in a row? It's not going to happen.
All right, so we said enough about Sangmin, I think. Let's move on to Loi Yunsen, and I know Colin's a big fan here, so I'll let him take the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I thought she was one of the people that I was most happy to see back. Or maybe that's not true, but I was really happy to see her back because I thought she was someone as I just rewatched season two before season four started, that I wanted to see more out of, like, had some untapped potential, I thought, and also just out of the female genius contestants, kind of a limited pool, so happy to see that she was willing to come back. I think kind of along, I don't think a whole lot changed for her this time around. I think she is, in general, going to have kind of a hard time assimilating to at least this cast of genius players or this type of players, where they're not probably looking for someone to be... Sorry, this is really fucking annoying. I don't know if I... I'll pick it back up, but they're putting it... It's so loud in my room. I can't hear what you guys are even saying.
Don't pick it back up. Just keep talking.
I'm not going to keep talking. Because I'm not fucking around. Yeah. Like, this is really obnoxious.
You're not sounding very chipper right now.
Okay, I'm going to pick it back up. All right. Yeah, Yoon Sun was someone that I was actually really excited to see back. I had just finished watching season two before season four started, and I was really looking forward to see her again. Unfortunately, I think it was more of the same, where she just wasn't really able to fit in with the group for whatever reason. And I think that's unfortunately going to be often how it's going to go for Lawyer Yoon Sun in A Game of the Genius. But she is someone that I really like having in there for as long as she's there.
Yeah, I think there's some aspect of her personality that we don't see very often, because I really like her, and I kind of thought she would be better at this, but she just doesn't seem to ever fit into a group socially, and I think that's ultimately going to hold her back. I don't get why that is, but for whatever reason, it seems to continue to happen, so I don't think she's a very good player because of it. I think it's too much to overcome.
Yeah, I think she's a fun type to have in there. Like, when they are, like, I think just having a lawyer in there in general is really fun. I'm totally with you. I don't know that it's ever necessarily going to go that well for her. And again, I don't even know if she would be that strong in general if she had to go to several death matches. Like, she held her own for a while, certainly, against Hyunmin, but I'm not sure if she's going to ever have a ton of, like, success going really deep into a season. Dom, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I like her a lot, and I don't really get why others don't, but I can imagine if she is trying to, like, bowel her way through the game and be assertive but doesn't really have the allies to back it up, then it's hard to, like, sign on to that if she's making a pitch to you.
Yeah. All right, so I think let's move on to Yuyun. Certainly someone I know all of us, when we were watching season three, were rooting for and really happy to see back and rooting for here. What did you think of how it went around this time around for Yuyun?
I think he kind of fell into the same exact thing as last time, where I think he's a better player than his results indicate, and ultimately I think the fact that he wasn't in the Friends of Sangmin group is what led to his ouster here, as well as just getting a bad draw and being a rebel that episode. I think he's good. I don't think he's, like, a tremendous player or anything, but I think he would have done a lot better had the season not been run by Dongmin and Hyunmin, and I think in the other permutations where those guys go out early, I think Yuyun does very well.
Yeah, I think he ran historically bad to run into Dongmin and Hyunmin both of his seasons that he played. I think he's got, like, a great general mind for the types of games that they run on the Genius. I think he's totally good socially. You know, we saw him interact and get along well with a lot of different types of people across both of his seasons. And I'm totally with you that I think his results were not at all a general indicator of how he might do. I think he's definitely going to be in there in most seasons with a real shot at winning.
Yeah, I wonder what's more tilting, Colin with the wood chipper or Yuhyun losing to Kyungran after she was on this suicide mission, where she just left the poker games in there, picked one, and then just beat him in a variance fest.
Well, the good news is it sounds like the wood chipper has just been shut off, so we're clear on that front.
That is a damn shame.
Can we get an interview with the wood chipper operator? Can you, like, invite him in? You'll say his piece.
By the way, for the people out there who wonder what Maine is like, I assure you there are not just wood chippers going in everyone's backyard all the time. Although, we limit it to, like, a solid 60% of the time.
You're confirming every Maine stereotype that's ever been invented here, I think.
I know, Jay Fisher always gives me a ton of shit for, like, wearing flannels and bears and punching bears. I don't even know. But I feel like this is really not helping my case. Yeah. So many people are all happy for me that I get to spend my summers in Maine, but the bad part is I spend the rest of my year in Maine too, and this is the kind of shit you have to put up with.
Yeah. I'm a little confused right now because your audio sounds a little weird. Can you have a little more going on in the background? Because It's just confusing me.
I legitimately, can I just put out there, I am so sorry. I cannot explain how terrified I am, or how apologetic. Okay. Let me just put it out there that I feel awful that the wood chipper was such a big part of this podcast. I think it's a tragedy that we had to have this go. I know you guys probably disagree right now.
Absolutely. This is fantastic.
All right. My town never gets anything done on the weekends either, so this is a huge surprise.
Does it get anything done during the week either?
Not often. All right. Back to you, Yun, though. Enough about the wood chipper.
Sure. I think the one thing that could hold Yu-Yun back sometimes is, and maybe this is a stereotype, like Colin and I as poker players, I think we see this a lot, but I think maybe he could be a little too cold and emotionless about certain things, sort of like Albert was perceived, mm-hmm. where he's never going to truly feel like the guy who you can come to and is just going to gush and always tell you the truth. He always feels like he's a little guarded and emotionless about everything. And I do wonder if maybe that's what holds him back from bonding with people like Kyung Ran.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that's what separates Dan Giesling is I think Dan has that same kind of mind, but he doesn't come across that way.
It seemed like Kyung Ran bonded with him well enough. And like we saw, I think, Lawyer Yunsen on the way out give him her garnet. So it feels like he's doing something right on that front. But I do see what you mean where, like, in Kyung Hoon's interview, he did say the reason that he teamed up with him for the Fish Shop game was precisely because no one else really seemed to want him in their alliance. So I think there is some, like, maybe it's clear that he does think of himself as, like, the strategic player and he is always scheming and stuff, and that seems a bit off-putting to them. I don't know.
Well, maybe there's something to the idea that, like, if he had played on Season 2 instead of Season 3 and had not played with Dongmin, or on a season with Dongmin before and didn't have that history, maybe he would have approached this season differently and viewed someone like Dongmin and Hyungmin as people he would hope to team up with and be part of that alliance. But because he just faced off against them 6 months ago, he doesn't want to just, like, cower over, you know, run towards them for protection, I guess, almost.
I don't know. I feel like he's not the type who's ever going to align with specifically Dongmin. I don't see that being a good match, and I think there's a reason they never teamed up. I just think their personalities lend each other to being like the dominant alpha in their group and the strategist and all that. I just don't think they mesh well as allies.
See, I would almost say Yu-Hyun wants to be a team player, and so when you have someone like Dongmin who is monopolizing all of the discussion, that's what turns him off, as opposed to, well, here's another lion who wants to be head of the pride.
Well, I'm not saying he necessarily has to be the leader as much as Dongmin is, but I never really looked at him as a team player, and maybe that's just the way the results worked out, but I don't know, I feel like he's always the guy who wants to give direction, and always feels like he's the one who comes up with the strategic idea and said, okay, here's my group, let's go implement this. But I guess I don't really look at that as a team player. I look at it as more a Boston Rob power through the game kind of way.
Yeah, maybe I think he's kind of like Jinho, and I think we talked about him as like Jinho's evil twin, where I don't know if he necessarily needs everyone to be obeying him, but I think whatever plan he's going with, he at least needs to sign off on. He's not going to just let Dongmin come up with something for him.
I can agree with that. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So let's move on to my boy, Dr. Yunsung here. I think, you know, I was certainly very excited to see him back after just rewatching Season 3 again before watching Season 4. He was someone who didn't even stand out to me my first time through on Season 3. But I loved what I saw this time out of Dr. Yunsung. And I'm going to actually put it out there. I don't think it's that bad that he was gone. I think this is right around where I would have had him finish, where we get a nice solid chunk of Dr. Yunsung, but he's not really, we get some more like actual solid real winner contenders there left at the end.
This is the biggest bullshit I've heard on this podcast.
What?
So we did a ranking before the season and you put Dr. Yunsung at number 9 most likely to win out of this cast, only ahead of people like Jung Hyun. So I think the fact that you're proclaiming you've always been this giant fan of the Witch Doctor is total, total bullshit. I don't know why he became a cult fan or why you became a cult fan of his, but I think you're lying to yourself here.
I became a cult fan of his during my Season 3 rewatch, which we haven't podcasted about yet.
I bet you've now forgotten.
See, I thought maybe you did.
I bet you've now forgotten about because it was 4 months ago.
No, I get that he's an okay player, but I think much like in Survivor where you pick like 7 of the 18 or the 20 people to win the season, I think you picked like 6 or 7 to win the genius this year too. So I think this is a little bit of revisionist history.
No, but what I said, I believe in our season preview podcast was there was everyone across the board had Kyung-hoon at the bottom, and then there was that tier above that of Dr. Yoon-sung and Lawyer Yoon-sung was in there, and Jung-moon was in there, and someone else was in there. And I said I thought Dr. Yoon-sung was the clear top of that tier. I did not. You are right that I had him at number 9, and I don't think of him as some amazing genius player. What I mean when I say I'm a big Dr. Yoon-sung fan is I like watching him on TV. I think he's really a fun character and like a fun kind of temperament to have in that environment.
Okay, you put Joon-suk at number 6 and Dr. Yoon-sung at number 9.
Right.
So
I'm not saying I thought he was going to win. I just really like watching him.
I don't get that either. He's a fine character, but I think if you're going to lose one person out of these 13, I think it's got to be him. I think he's probably the least entertaining person in the cast.
Yeah.
I would say Jung Kim. No offense,
well,
Tom.
Fuck you.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I like him, and, you know, episode 4, I think he had a great episode there. I was really happy that he was able to get one over on the entire rest of the cast, but I think that was his one moment, and I don't think you can expect too much more from him on any kind of consistent basis. Although, you know, based on his social media stuff, and like, I know there was some blog post he wrote about season 3 that was translated and made for good reading, so clearly like a smart, likable guy, but I'm not sure how much he really has to offer in this context.
Okay, well, I feel like all of that is complete horseshit, and anyone who sees the light would fully appreciate. No, I don't know. I understand. It wouldn't have surprised me at all if he was not brought back for this season. In fact, he probably, I think, was brought back largely because they wanted to have the final 3 from all of the seasons.
Yeah, I think we questioned some of the cast, like Kyung-hoon and Joon-suk, but I think if we now look back at who is the person who probably belonged in here the least, if we're building an ideal TV cast, I think it's got to be him. I get that he's entertaining, like, it's the genius. Everyone is great. I don't dislike anyone. I very much enjoyed, you know, every part of the season, and he was great, especially in the fish shop. But I think if you're going to lose one person from this cast, it's a no-brainer for me. It's got to be him.
I don't even know if I would put up much of a fight. I do. Jung-hyun, at least to me, is kind of like a Keith Nail type, where I feel like it's almost not quite one-dimensional, but nothing's ever really going to surprise me that much. But I suppose the same could be said for Dr. Yoon-sung. Although Fish Shop surprised the hell out of me. I loved that he got that moment.
That was great, and that's one of the crowning moments of the season for me. Although that's more to do with like Hyun-min not winning as opposed to him winning, so I think that's a push. Let's move on to...
Well, I think that's kind of the point of it, right? Is not only does Hyun-min lose, he loses to Joon-suk and Dr. Yoon-sung.
Okay, that's fair, but I think it would be equally as satisfying if it was Kyung-hoon and Yoo-hyun, although maybe not as satisfying.
Or more satisfying. I would have loved it more, maybe, even if it was Yoo-hyun and Kyung-hoon.
What, seeing Yoo-hyun actually get a win at some stage?
Yeah.
I think the high five is one of those great moments, especially the fact that Joon-suk and Dr. Yoon-sung are standing immediately next to Hyun-min, and they have to high five literally behind his head. It's a fantastic moment.
In slow motion, with like Dong-min looking over as well. It's great. But let's move on to Jung-moon now, because she was someone who I thought was likable enough coming into the season. I don't think any of us had her as like this big winner candidate, and as the season went on, a lot of people were turned off by her, although I somehow found her even more endearing, so I don't know what that says about me, but what are your takes on her?
I actually grew on Jung-moon a lot this season. I thought she was someone I thought was one of the bigger stretches to pull back in, and that is because prior to the season, I wasn't even aware. I somehow missed this watching season 1, that she was like some child prodigy. I thought she ended up actually bringing quite a bit to this season, probably not in like the dominant gameplay department, but at least in the mixing things up to make pretty good TV department.
Yeah, so in the intro package that we get in the first episode, they call Kyung-hoon the unpredictable game destroyer, but I kind of think that lends itself more to Jung-moon and her personality. I think if you're picking someone out of this cast who, like, I don't really dislike anybody in The Genius, but she's probably my least favorite out of this cast, and not counting like random first boots like Jury or whatever. I think she's probably the one I dislike the most, but I don't even dislike her. But either way, I think she brings a lot of good TV to the show just because she's crazy and she's always... You can tell she's always looking out for only herself. She has no ability to play a team game whatsoever, and she'll just make terrible moves for for no reason sometimes, or I mean, I think there's a reason behind it in her head, but it doesn't really make sense, like when she's constantly in the middle and trying to play both sides, but she does it terribly. So I think from that perspective, she brings a lot to the show, but I think she's a pretty terrible player, and I don't really enjoy her that much.
Yeah, I think her one big highlight moment for me was in season 4, episode 1. She was stone cold when she looked down at that convict card and just handed it off to Dongmin to hand to Junghyun. But short of that, I think you're right, that her role really seemed to be kind of like stirring things up in the game without really doing herself many favors. And for at least for me, I actually really liked having a person in there like that. Like, we saw her several times this season, like Seed Poker, she just completely turned on its head. The one where they had the cubes where they were the cops or the mafia or whatever, the Garnet Thief game, she was a critical player in there. I thought she was at the end of the day, was a great casting choice for mixing up a lot of these middle episodes.
She definitely brings something unique to the table that I don't think we've seen from any other genius character before. So I think that definitely is a plus in her favor. But I think if you're drawing up the season again and saying who has the most and least equity, I think she's clearly in the bottom two or three. And I can't really ever envision her beating this cast.
Yeah. Dom, what do you think about Jungmoon?
Yeah, I can't really disagree with any of that. Even though I like her a lot, it's it's hard to imagine her as a potential winner, I think. And she was always going to be this... I wouldn't say an agent of chaos, but like she was not going to be leading from the front, comfortably in the majority, winning every game. She was always going to be on the fringes, struggling to survive, I think.
I think she's just too much of a spaz to ever be someone you want solidly in your alliance. She's always capable of just doing something crazy for no reason.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to probably a slightly more revered female genius player, the heroine of the genius, Kyungran Nuna.
I don't know what to think here. I mean, I know Colin in particular gushed about her, and I think she was one of his like 8 winner picks for the season. But I think this clearly shows us, like, after watching the grand final, she's probably the worst player in this cast, probably by a mile. I don't think she really has any clue what she's doing. I don't think she cares. I think maybe the reason that she wasn't targeted in season 1 was that she was Sandra-ish. And then it's unfortunate that as I'm talking through all this, I'm realizing, oh, wait, she beat Sangmin in a death match, which is kind of depressing. But I don't think she really cares about the game. I don't think she has any natural ability for it. I think she's always going to be a team player and always... She may go deep a lot, but she's always not going to win, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think she's a great team player. I think she's really personable, and people want to work with her, and she can totally contribute, and she totally understands what you're telling her, but you're right. I think the biggest problem, at least for me with Kyungran, is she really doesn't seem to care. I think this is just another TV show for her, whereas that's definitely not the case for a lot of these other players, particularly in season 4. Like we saw entering season 4, she hadn't even seen at least season 3 and was certainly not practicing any of the death matches that she would eventually have to be playing. So I'm totally with you. There was absolutely no chance she could have won this season.
Yeah, big Kyung fan, although I would have liked to see more of that confrontational style that she had at various points in season 1, where it seemed like every week in that pre-credit sequence, she was always calling out, you know, Sangmin or Jinho or somebody else. And this season, she really kind of held off on that. She did have that, like... that fight, if you like, with Loya Yunsen. But outside of that, she was never really challenging, like, Dongmin or anybody else. She was more reserved, and that's fine, and she was still likable, but she wasn't really what we were hoping for, I think.
Yeah. But really, I mean, I think across the board, people were excited to have Kyungran back. I know she has a lot of support on, like, the online English-speaking community. And I think, you know, she was fun to watch for as long as she was there. But as we talked about at the time... her boot episode, I think she almost like had to be the one to go there to get down to these final 5. Okay, so let's get into someone I know was one of the more controversial casting choices for a lot of people, but I think completely panned out, and that is Junsak.
Yeah, I think as of the first episode, he proved that he was worthy of being in the cast, and then again in episode 3 and episode 4, he was one of the big highlights of all of those episodes. I think he kind of cooled off a bit after that, and we didn't see too much from him after that point, but certainly earned his spot there. And I think he was the one person in the cast who was always constantly opposed to Dongmin, and I think the season needed that, although I don't know how good he was in that role ultimately.
The one time he cooperated with Dongmin was the end of Garnet Thief, which enabled them to get a five-way joint win.
Yeah. But like episode 1, episode 3, and episode 4, like he was constantly trying to scupper these plans that Dongmin had laid in place. And I think, you know, we see Dongmin just dominate this. We see him dominate most of the season. I think if he'd been able to do that wall to wall, it wouldn't have been as entertaining. So seeing those moments where he was able to get overthrown by somebody was what the season needed, I think.
Yeah, we talked about him as a pretty questionable choice if you were going to take somebody out of this cast, but he was outstanding. In fact, I think, I don't want to say he like saved the season, because it obviously was incredible regardless, but just having that opposing side and him always being willing to mix it up, him not being your standard Korean game player here and like constantly being willing to screw people over and do things behind the scenes that are a little shady, I thought made him a tremendous character. I don't know if he's like a great player or anything. I think he may have some ability or some inability to mesh with certain groups, and I don't know if he's the most social guy out there, but he's definitely tremendous TV, and I was thrilled that he was in the cast.
Yeah, I think the number one thing almost that I would want in a player, not only on The Genius, but on any reality game, is someone who asks themselves constantly, well, what's in it for me? And Junsak, no surprise, I guess, given that he's in politics, that seemed to be constantly the question he was asking himself, and unsatisfied unless he felt like he could benefit from things.
Yeah, I feel like if he grows up in America and goes on one of these shows, he's like one of the constant wolfy, super screw everyone over kind of people. I think, you know, even the fact that he's over there, you know, that part of his personality is still, it just shines through. Like, he is always looking out for number one, and he doesn't really care about other people. And I think that's a great thing to have for a television character.
Yeah, it's exactly what I want in these reality games. All right, so yeah, I think we're all on the same page. Definitely earned his spot there. Let's move on now to our fourth place finisher, Jin Ho Hyung, one of the four kings, the original winner of The Genius, and someone who, you know, if the game in season two, I've always said that if he draws that god bill that Sangmin drew in the Seven Commandments game, he probably finds the token of immortality and is then in another strong position in season two. What did we end up making of Jin Ho here in season four after seeing him go deep yet again?
Eh.
Wait,
whatever.
Jin Ho was on season four? No, I thought he was like the Monica Padilla of the season.
I wouldn't go that far. Come on.
Okay.
He didn't do anything.
He's a Kimmy Kappenberg of the season.
He didn't perform to like he certainly didn't live up to what I would say was the expectation of him to go in there and be one of the power players and hold it down for season one and I guess season two, although he kind of disowned that at a certain point. Like, he definitely did seem to just fall in line for the most part with whatever Dongmin wanted to do. But I would actually say that while that didn't translate well to TV, that was definitely a good approach for Jin Ho to take. I think one of the best things he can do is just get in with the power group and make sure he's safe. And that, what more does he really have to worry about? And just try to get into a position where hopefully his one-on-one skill can carry him to another endgame.
What was Jin Ho's highlight of this season?
Probably being involved in the Garnet Thief joint win, I would say. Like, you're not wrong at all in saying there was no open pass or anything even close to that. There was no him winning the first four main matches in a row. Like, he really probably didn't even add to the highlight reel at all. But I do think what he did bring to the season was his reputation and always having Jin Ho in every episode. And when they're walking out, the episode's closing and, hey, here's who's going to be back next week to compete again, I was always excited that Jin Ho was still going to be back next week.
Yeah, I don't get it. I'm not one of these people who cares about nostalgia. Like, I don't care that Kimmy Kappenberg is on this season of Survivor. I don't care that Jin Ho was on this season of The Genius. He didn't do anything. He wasn't entertaining. To be honest, you just said his highlight was being involved in the joint win, and I had forgotten that he was involved in the joint win. I thought of the other four people and not him. I just don't think he brought anything to the table. Maybe it was the correct strategy for him. I don't know. But I think he just kind of proved that he's an overhyped player. And I think he even realized this, you know, when he left, you know, he said, you know, this is me kind of passing on the crown to somebody else. And I'm just kind of a challenger now. And I think we saw that his deathmatch skill was overshadowed by people who had better deathmatch skills and also had better main match skills, social ability, everything. I don't think he really brought anything to the table this season.
I wouldn't say he brought nothing to the table, but I definitely would stand by what all of us were saying preseason, which is that Jinho is easily the most generally overrated player of the Genius.
By far.
Until you guys start talking about Johan, but yes.
Sure.
Because as weird as it sounds, and as ironic as it is, like, Jinho is a better version of Johan in these games. Like, if you're talking about somebody who's purely, you know, bad in main matches but good in death matches and isn't going to piss people off, is a decent team player, will never lie to you, like, that is Jinho. That's not Johan. And so if you value that, then yeah, Jinho's a great player. I certainly would not put him in that top tier or even the tier after it for me. I think his only ability in this game is to win death matches, and we've seen that he's not even the best at that. So aside from the legacy, I don't really think he brings anything to the table.
Okay, Dom, any closing thoughts on Jinho?
No.
All right, well, let's move on.
I guess.
Okay. Pretty much something. Yeah, Jinho hasn't really earned any fanfare. Let's move on to the last person that we have to talk about, and I'm going to be really curious to hear where both of you guys are evaluating this person, and that is, of course, Hyunmin, who in Season 3, particularly early on, put on what I thought was an absolute clinic, particularly in the jury game, and then went on, of course, to really control the game with Dongmin for basically the next season and a half of his time there. It looked like they had sort of a falling out, culminating in him giving his item to Kyunghoon at the end, but I still don't feel like there's a ton of reason to feel that much differently about Hyunmin, even though he didn't make the finals this time. I feel like he still totally demonstrated an incredible talent for everything we were already high on him for.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous that a guy can come into an all-star season, have what I would consider to be a poor showing way below what we expected from him, yet I still think he's clearly a top three Genius player of all time. He's kind of what you want from Jinho or Yuan as far as having this deathmatch skill, but he's a good team player. He's always going to be your calculations guy. It's so hard to pull the trigger on targeting him in a deathmatch, and when he gets taken there, he does really well. I think he has a lot of skills for the game, and even though it doesn't always shine through that he's playing a fantastic game, it's so tough to knock him out. And I think that's just a tremendous skill to have in the Genius.
Right. Like, we talk about on Survivor or Big Brother, like, oh, well, you know, you need to beat Ozzy at some point, but at, you know, over the course of the entire post-merge, eventually Ozzy's going to lose a challenge in most timelines. Whereas in the Genius, the way it just works is Hyunmin's not going to be probably a target. No one's going to be willing to go to the deathmatch with him until there are very few options, if even then. So just his pure intelligence and game ability is going to carry him so far so often in these games that I totally am with you. I think he's the clear number three for me in the Genius players.
It's odd to me because I was hyping him up as much as anybody coming into the season, and, you know, if you had said he's going to get third and he's going to, you know, be there with Dongmin at the end, I would have said, well, fantastic. That's further evidence that he's one of the all-time greats. But his performance this season was just so disappointing to me, and, you know, he redeemed himself in part, I guess, with the cooperative Hold'em game. But beyond that, he did not have a good showing, I think, and it's kind of disillusioned me to how he is as a player, so maybe I'm not the best to provide any perspective on it.
Well, get into that. In what sense did he kind of, like, disappoint you? Was it how he was performing in the actual, like, games themselves, or how he was interacting with other people?
More so the former. Like, Fish Shop, I think, is completely inexcusable. Like, there's no way that someone who is supposed to be of his caliber should be making a mistake like that. And then in the other games, he was, at best, a lackey for Dongmin, just kind of hiding behind him. And sometimes he was making mistakes or doing things which actively hurt his alliance. So I don't think there's any, like, one shining moment for Hyunmin outside of being helped by his partner to win the cooperative Hold'em game.
But how much do you think that has to do with something that I flagged up pretty early in the season and I think he was well aware of, which is, as long as he doesn't finish last, he's not going to the deathmatch. So really the name of the main match is just don't come in last.
That's true, and well, that's fine, but that's
that
not...
just points out why Fish Shop is bad too.
That's true. And I agree, but I think I at least understand that coming off of every single main match, it felt like in season three, where he was able to get away with just like the level two or three play, and just it always worked.
Yeah, I don't think that's an excuse, though. Like, maybe he could get away with that in Season 3 and then again in Season 4 because no one was taking him into a death match, but there are going to be times where that does end up actively hurting him, where he does end up in a death match somehow, or he just gets last like he did in Fish Shop, and he can't be making those kind of mistakes if he's going to be going deep consistently.
Yeah, but I just feel like, again, with it in mind that all he really, in all practical terms, has to do until probably like Final 7, Final 6, is just avoid last place. I feel like that Hyunmin knows that himself and doesn't really, like, it doesn't matter. As long as he's avoiding last place, there's nothing people can do about it. They're not going to take him to the deathmatch. Like, he can afford to play with kind of that mentality of, eventually someone's going to have to beat me, so either step up or leave me and let me do what I'm doing.
Okay, but...
See, I disagree with that. I don't think he has that mindset. I think he constantly wants to win, and it's not about just not coming in last for him. Like, he wants to get the token of life every single episode, whether he wins it or gets it from somebody. I think that it's a nice perk that people probably aren't going to pick him, but I don't think he comes into the games with that mindset at all.
Yeah, if that's an argument that you're going to make in his defense, then there's not one that he would make himself. So it's a bit dodgy, I think. And then also, if the best you can say about him is he didn't mess up so badly that he ended up in a death match and losing despite himself, then, I mean, that is technically true, but it's not very inspiring.
But I don't feel like that is really the best you can say about him this season. I feel like it's he made his talents clear, and because of the way the game works, that did him tremendous favors. Like, they're just unwilling to take him to death matches. Like, he's the reason that people won't go to death matches with him.
Until Dongmin chose to take him to a death match in his signature game and beat him. So,
yeah.
You know,
Dongmin who doesn't care about the money and cares much more about probably overcoming that hurdle. I don't think Dongmin was saying, I'm making the better game move.
I still think you're overstating how much equity he has when he goes to a death match. Like, as much as we want to say he's a tremendous deathmatch player, he did almost lose the deathmatch that he went to. So, and it wasn't against the top tier player either. I think if Lawyer Yoon-sun is a little faster on the buzzer, Hyunmin's out fourth, and we're going, wow, that was a huge disappointment. Now, all that being said, as disappointing as he was, I still think he just has tons of natural skill for the game, and that makes him a great player.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we see slightly differently on that, but I agree with that last point, which is, regardless of his approach and what he would argue about his best strategy, he's got a ton of equity. And I honestly feel like in this season, one of him or Dongmin or Kyunghoon was going to win this season based on these endgames, like 85% of the time. I feel like they're so much stronger than everyone else this season, and thus everyone we've basically ever seen.
That is classic Colin Stone hyperbole.
What do you... What odds? 85% between the three of them. I'm saying with these endgames in place, and I know we disagreed earlier about whether or not they were necessarily locked in ahead of time. But I feel like if these are the endgames, it is nearly impossible for the rest of this cast to get through those three.
That's ridiculous. You think like Junsak and your boy Dr. Yoon-sung, like you think they're drawing dead in every single deathmatch they go to with these guys?
No, but I think they're drawing dead to avoid the deathmatch in Cooperative Hold'em, and probably if they can survive that, probably drawing close to dead at winning two of those three finals games against any of those three guys.
I completely disagree with that. I think that this is way overhyped. I think those guys, clearly the three you mentioned, have a ton of equity, but 85% is fucking ridiculous.
I think you could give Dr. Yoon-sung 10 tries to beat any of those three at Number Jangi or the math game, and he loses all 10 of them.
Well, then why is he your boy?
I don't think he's my boy because I think he's great at the game. I just love watching him on TV.
10 out of 10, though. You're crazy.
Maybe if he adjusts based on their previous play, I don't know.
I'm telling you, Junghyun would wipe the floor with all of them in that number game.
All right, maybe I'm going a little too far on those three, but I just feel like, again, with the assumption and maybe it's a flawed assumption, that the end games are going to be so math-oriented, I feel like those three had just a tremendous advantage.
This reminds me of your Survivor podcast. I forget what you were even referencing, but something went from 85 or 90% to like 30% by the end of the episode. You kept talking yourself out of another 20% of the time.
That was actually a genius podcast, too, about how much equity Dongmin had.
Yes. So I think maybe this is coming into play here.
The good news is you'll never get the chance to prove me wrong because the genius is over.
Well, okay. So
that is dark.
So on that, apparently the whole grand final thing and the farewell thing coming on the screen at the end. That was in reference to the main producer leaving the show, and he apparently, you know, he's the one who picks all the music, who does all of the set choices and everything. He is an integral part of it. And Kyung Hoon was saying the production team on The Genius more widely is so tightly knit that they figured they would rather the show end now than for some of them to leave and it be a completely different vibe in there. But that doesn't automatically mean the show is dead. What it means is, you know, if they have to revive it, it will be with a different producer and a different team behind it, and that's fine. And I think they could easily justify doing that because the ratings this season have been completely stratospheric. I mean, it's way beyond the usual baseline for what constitutes a good show and career. So, yeah, I think we could definitely see a season 5. It might not be on the same time scale as the other seasons. We might have to wait a bit for it, which would be heartbreaking if we have to, but we might see season 5 yet.
Well, let's transition this into, because I feel like if we do see a season 5 with a whole different production team, I don't know how I would necessarily feel about that. And a big reason is I feel like The Genius 1 through The Genius 4 is some of the most perfect reality TV, if not the most perfect reality TV that's ever been made. And I wouldn't want anything potentially tainting that.
Yeah, I would be happy if the franchise did end right now, and that would be fine. Because as it stands, it is by far the greatest of all time, and it sets a very high bar for any show to live up to. If we had a season 5, I'm sure it would be fine. Like, it's hard to imagine it being bad, but maybe it just wouldn't be the same. And so, as much as I love The Genius, I'm happy for them to quit while they're ahead.
What the fuck are you guys talking about? I don't care if it's not as good. I want more. You guys are insane. Maybe it won't be as good. Maybe it won't have all the same things that we love about it. But it's going to be The Genius, and it's going to be better than 99% of the stuff that we watch to begin with. So, you guys are nuts. I want more.
That's also a decent point.
I would want essentially the same show retitled to something else, so I wouldn't include it with these first four seasons. Because to me, at least, I feel like if it's not going to be the same people doing it, I feel similarly about when I hear rumors of David Simon potentially writing a sixth season or HBO going for a sixth season of The Wire. I want those five seasons to stand alone. I don't want to run the risk of a sixth season jeopardizing that.
Yeah, but those five seasons
congratulations,
weren't good
by
to
the
begin
way.
With. So what's the issue?
Yeah, congratulations if you had under 90 minutes towards the first Wire reference of this podcast. Just one.
Yeah, all right, well, let's talk about The Genius, the first four seasons, and I guess let's start with season 4 in particular. I'm going to put it out there. For me, this is, I'm not going to say by far the best reality season of all time, but this is my number one reality season of all time. I think there are so many holy shit moments in this season that there's nothing that could stack up to this pound for pound.
I'll say it. It's by far the best season of television ever.
Yeah, of television or reality television?
At the very least, reality television, but I'm tempted to say television.
Right, yeah, and just, this is something... Yeah.
Just the entire pinnacle of human achievement, I think, historically. So, yeah, I mean, I think it was... There are times when it didn't live up to my expectations, but maybe I set my bar too high for that. And as we always say, even the worst episode of this season is better than 95% of TV in general, and also better than most Genius episodes. So it's really hard to find fault with it, I think. So we seem to be in agreement that season 4 is the best season. Where do the other seasons rank for you beyond that? Because I know there are lots of season 1 fans, lots of season 3 fans. I seem to be the only season 2 fan, but maybe I'm not alone in that. So we'll start with Kaz and then Colin. If you've recovered by then, we can figure something out.
Well, of course I love season 2 because Sangmin wins. I think season 1 is probably the weakest of the four, actually. Again, I only watch these once. I go back and watch the highlight reels constantly, but from watching the whole seasons from beginning to end, I've only done that once. I think I would go with season 4, then probably season 3 just slightly ahead of season 2, but I think those are the three best seasons of reality TV ever.
Yeah, I would say these four seasons are, I would say 4, 3... 2-1 would be my order from 1 through 4, and I think 4 and 3 would be easily my top two seasons in reality history. I may mix in like Kageyan or Heroes versus Villains or BB7 in there with 2 and 1, but this is what I was going to say, is with Survivor, like, I love Survivor. I've devoted an insane number of hours of my life watching and talking about Survivor. Survivor would not be in my top 25 actual TV shows of all time as far as how I view them as television products. I feel like The Genius would easily be in my top 10 overall TV shows with Breaking Bad and The Wire and Justified. A lot, like, this is complete mastery of a genre for my money.
Wait, so you've spent a good portion of your life talking about a show that isn't in your top 25?
I think it's relentlessly interesting, and I love the game, but I don't think the TV show itself is defensible as a top 25 TV show.
Is this Colin Stone hyperbole coming into play here?
Yes. Yeah. I may derive personal enjoyment from it, but I would not put it up to someone else and say, this is a top 25 TV show.
Yes, it's not as entertaining as Frank Sabatka, let's be honest.
You just cherry-pick, like, the one arguably bad season of The Wire. All right. So, Doug, what do you think about where they rank?
Well, is that only arguable because all of the rest are definitely bad, or is that my off money?
All right, Doug. Yeah, you keep hanging your hat on The Wire being awful. You and the Emmy committee. But, Doug, give me your seasons of the Genius rankings.
Yeah, The Wire would not make my top 25 TV shows, I would say. But, yeah, for The Genius, I would say, I think I would go, like, 4-2-1-3. I don't buy into Season 3 as much as most people do. I like Season 2 a lot, just, you know, the games, the set design, the characters, just everything about it, including, obviously, the final outcome. And, you know, Season 1, I know Coz doesn't really have any nostalgia that comes into play for him, but for me, watching that first episode and seeing the Garnet heist at the end, that really just hooked me on the entire franchise, and that was a truly, like, transformative experience. So it's hard for me to put that at the bottom, but I mean, Season 3 is perfectly good too. I don't have any quibbles with that there.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely right that, like, the Garnet heist and Open Pass, I think, are hard to, you know, when a season contains those two truly iconic moments, it's hard to have it at the back of, you know, our season rankings. But at least for me, the reason that I'm so high on Seasons 3 and 4 probably is because the games seem a lot more like the stuff that I'm interested in, like a lot more of the math stuff and the betting stuff compared to Winning Streak or Election Game or whatever. Although I guess the Election Game is basically just Survivor. But I just feel like the Seasons 2, 3, and 4 in particular just feel so much cleaner and sharper and better done than the first season. And again, that's because the first season had nothing come before it to build off of. But at least for me, the same way that I would say Australia clearly can't hold up when compared to some of the modern seasons, it's not nearly that level of disparity, but I do feel like season one kind of stands out as almost like a trial run at this point.
Yeah, I think as much as it was great and, you know, it really changed how at least the three of us look at reality TV and what we love, I think if you're going back and saying what are the, you know, 25 best moments in The Genius, very few of them are coming from season one, and there's in there that aren't great. There's several, dare I even say most, death matches that aren't great. So aside from a few moments, I think season one is the weakest. But that being said, it's still one of the best series or one of the best seasons of television ever. So it's not like it's bad. It's just less good than three incredible seasons after it.
Right. It would still be, after watching 60 plus seasons of Survivor, Big Brother, and some of The Amazing Race, all four of these seasons would still easily be in my top seven seasons of reality ever. Right, well, The Genius, at least as far as I'm concerned, it seems to me like The Genius is done in Korea. Maybe the door is still open there. But some good news, potentially, Dom, is that your country, the United Kingdom, has gotten the rights to the show, and while I don't think a channel or a network has signed on to air it yet, that at least leaves us optimistic. And hey, we speak English.
Some of us do. I don't, but yeah.
I mean, dare you.
This might finally be a thing that we do have in England, and I'm not quite sure how I feel about that. Like, I seem to be in disagreement with most of my countrymen about this, but I don't think the UK is very good at TV in general. Like, it has some good, you know, standalone series or whatever, but I think the entire attitude, especially towards game shows, reality TV, is just not designed towards producing something that I necessarily want to watch. And I worry that if they get their hands on The Genius, it's going to be this completely bastardized version of it with, like, a boring host, with less exciting games, with a cast of the same people that we see on TV all the time and that we're accustomed to, and who aren't necessarily entertaining to me in their own right. And I don't know, I can see it being like a cheap knockoff in the same way that the Survivor UK version just completely bombed as well back in 2001 now.
I mean, I would never put it back past England to completely fuck something up, but I was left optimistic by the article that I read about it, where they seemed, when describing the show, to put the focus on this is a show about strategy and betrayal. And I think those are really, and great music, I think, was another thing that they said. And I think as long as they maintain those kind of like pillars of the show, I'm certainly going to be checking it out. Dom, can I get a verbal commitment that you will apply?
Okay, I will apply. If there is open casting, I will apply for the show. All right, you have that. Okay. You have my assurance in that. I have
Dom versus Redmond.
I stand zero chance of making it on, but just to satisfy your curiosity, I will do that.
Cos, how badly do you think England's going to mess this up?
Well, they mess everything up, so I'm sure they will. I don't know if I can stand hearing 13 British people talk for that many episodes either, but I'll try.
Yeah.
And to be clear, it's not a sure thing yet. All they've done is bought the rights to it, so it's not clear that it's even going to go into production. But if it does, I mean, I have my reservations, but at least I do look forward to it on some level.
I think you're missing the key point here, which is that you, Dom, need to be taking credit as the person who brought the genius to the UK. I mean, you're probably like the only fan in the UK, so I think you really need to step up and just own this.
Well, if I apply, I will be like mentioning that, obviously. But I mean, yeah, it's I need to find something to distinguish me from every other British person out there. So I guess that would be a good thing to hang my hat on.
I mean, just your intense hatred for everything doesn't differentiate you?
Well, there are enough people like that in Britain to begin with that I don't think that's really a unique characteristic.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah. Well, guys, anything else? Any final hot takes to get to? I'm sure we're going to podcast about general genius stuff again, but who knows when that's going to be?
I hope this is not the grand final of genius podcasts for you guys.
Yeah. Well, anything that what I mean is anything that we haven't covered yet that either of you guys wanted to get to?
Well, I'm sure we'll have Cos on to discuss Survivor at some point, but let's get his thoughts on that quickly while he's here.
Sure. It's been a great season so far. It's a little depressing that Steven, who I think we all love, is not doing so well, and I tend to get more and more pessimistic each day. I literally had a dream the other night that he was the next boot, so I'm kind of hoping that that doesn't come true, but Colin and I's sort of pick, I know Colin had like four or five of them. My original pick was Steven. I ultimately went with Kelly Wentworth instead. I think she's looking great. And Dom, I think you're going to be eating your words on Kelly Wentworth being this terrible player very soon.
I never said she was really a terrible player. All I said was...
Oh! I'm going to put this out there on our next Survivor podcast. I'm willing to pay someone to go back through all of our old episodes and pull all of the clips of people trashing Kelly Wentworth.
Look, I said was, there's not enough evidence to declare that she's the greatest player of all time yet, that she's Spradlin-esque, and there wasn't. And now we're starting to accumulate evidence, and we can maybe have that discussion. But so I feel like I was completely justified in that, and I will not apologize for a second.
We'll get someone to pull the audio there, and we'll find out who was saying what.
That guy who pulled the Natalie Anderson audio last time, I'm sure, will be chomping at the bit to do that again.
I sure hope so. All right, one thing before we get out of here is I definitely want to give... a big thank you to everyone who's just listened to us talk about the genius for all this time. And in particular, a huge shout out to all of the early adopters, Cos, you, of course, being one of them, who when we were first kind of like tweeting out, hey, check out this show, people who got on board and then subsequently tweeted and made everyone else watch. We would absolutely not be doing this and never would have started podcasting about this if there wasn't such a vocal group of fans on Twitter. So a huge, huge shout out to all of those people.
Yeah, and I think it would be arrogant of us to like take all of the credit, but
I
know there are lots of people who, when we introduced them to the show, just said like, this is the best thing I've seen in a long time, and they introduced their friends, and it just set this whole chain in motion to now where we have this very sizable English language fan base for the show that I think is really warms my heart to see, because I remember back in January now just like seeing it mentioned on this Reddit thread in a throwaway comment. No one else seemed to even know that it existed, and so I checked it out, and it was, you know, the fact that other people get to enjoy it the way that I do is really heartwarming to me. So.
I was questioning several years into this podcast what we'd really accomplished, and the genius to me feels like something that, like, because of the podcast and because of people getting out there and getting other people into it, this is really something I feel like, not to take all the credit for us, like, hey, you owe us, but it just feels incredible to see it gain this much momentum.
Yeah, and it totally deserves it too. I mean, it really is just, it's something completely different than we've ever seen, and it's the best reality TV series ever. And big thanks to you guys for finding this and letting me know about it. It's just, it's been a joy to talk about with you guys and with everybody else. like you said, kind of the fact that we have this little niche community for it is great, because I certainly can't convince any of my my friends who I like see on a daily basis that they should be watching a Korean game show that's subtitled. But just the fact that we have people to discuss this with, and it's been fantastic. I really hope this is not the end of it. If it is, though, what a way to go out.
Yeah, I already have a hard enough time convincing British people who have never heard of Survivor that maybe they should check it out. So I have this blanket policy of just not talking about it to anybody. And if I suggest, well, now you should watch this odd Korean game show with subtitles on it that lasts for an hour and a half every episode, I think they would just disown me altogether. But we don't need to make a case for the show, because when we just say watch the first episode and they do, that's it, they're hooked, and we don't have to do any further work from there. And that's a testament to how good the show is and how, you know, good the fan base is, I think, that they've been willing to stick with it this whole time.
Yeah, and just one final shout out, whoever posted that thing on Reddit that Dom ended up seeing, you are a hero.
I think their username was PSU Whammy or something like that. I don't know the exact name, but yeah, shout out to him or her, whoever they are.
Yeah, all right. Well, guys, anything else to get to before we get out of here?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Well, then you, of course, can be following Koss on Twitter at IamTheKoss. Dom is at DomHRV. I am at Colin Stone. I think that's going to do it. So thank you guys once again for checking out all of our genius stuff. We will be back with season 3 at some point in the future. We definitely will do it. I think, yeah. All right. And I think that's basically it. And then we will see you next time. Well, I got the picture of a temporary love shack in the middle of no place. They were planning on using that cat to get away for faith. Now, how long did they think they could stay? Well, the troopers and the marshals surely on their way. I ran through the yard and I banged my knee on his wood chipper. Well, I'm screaming like a baby. She appeared at the window. Opened the door, and when I looked up, he said, Skipper, what are you doing?